you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Kings. Hey, Mickey, Sherry, love you guys. Hallelujah. Turn around and look at somebody and just speak to them. Say, God loves you. All right. Look at them and look at them again and say, God loves you. Now say, I love you. You know, it seems like a small thing, but you know, they tried to, and Pastor Justin was preaching last week on the Good Samaritan, and tremendous message. And you know, they tried. You realize that the people, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were always trying to trick Jesus. You know, they thought we know more than this dude, so we'll trick him here and we'll get him messed up. So they looked at Jesus and they said, what's the greatest commandment in all of the law? And they're sitting back and they're saying, you know, I wonder which one he's going to pick. You know, which one of those laws? Actually, it was over 300 laws. They were condensed down in the Ten Commandments. But which one's he going to pick? And Jesus says, how about this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he said the second, Pastor, is love your neighbor as yourself. So basically, Jesus said, you know what he said? He said on these two, everybody say these two. This is good teaching. We're going to preach it in a moment. This is good teaching. On these two, he said, hang all the prophets and the law. So basically, what he was saying was, you can take every bit of that stuff and hang it on these two. And these two are love God, love man. Okay? Love God, love man. Because if you love God, you're not going to have any other gods before him. If you love God, you're not going to take his name in vain. Amen? All right, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to covet his wife. Well, that'll preach, won't it? Amen. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to bear false witness against him. So you see where I'm going. You can take those Ten Commandments and you can attach every one of them either to love God or love your neighbor. Amen. So one more time, turn around and look at somebody and say, God loves you. Oh, that's good. That's good. Now look at them saying, I love you. And say it now. Say, I love myself. That's a tough one, isn't it? Some of you love yourself too much now. But it's important, you know, you're God's creation. You're made in the image and likeness of God. You know, you're not going to treat your neighbor any better than you treat yourself. Wow. All right, let's go. I've talked long enough. Are you ready? 2 Kings, chapter 4. The scripture says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband is dead. And you know now that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come, oh Jesus, to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Here's what I want you to notice. I'm going to paraphrase it. We should put this in the New Living, probably. We'll do that, Dwayne, later. But he says, what do you have in your house? And she said, don't have anything. Just a pot of oil. That's all I got. Wow. Keep going. I'm going to go through 7, I think. Yes. And he said, go and borrow vessels abroad of all your neighbors. Even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Get all you can get. And when you're come in, shut the door upon thee and your sons. And pour out into all those vessels. And then set aside the one that is full. It's an interesting word there. Verse 6. So 5. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. Man, this is loaded. You guys realize this is loaded. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there's no vessel. There's not another one. And the oil stayed. Everybody say stayed. Verse 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt and live, thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. I want to preach this morning. What's in your house? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm just a vessel to be used for your service. Father, I just speak right now that you bless and anoint your word and let your grace be upon it, Father. Speak to us from your word this morning. Let us be changed by your word. And let us be challenged by your word. And we ask that you add your blessing to it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all of the church says, amen. Now the situation here, this woman, the scripture says she cried. Actually, what it cried, cried is a word here that means that she basically, it's like she cried out. She was desperate. I mean, knows what it means to be desperate. Oh, we need to get some desperate people. Amen. Because, oh, help us, Lord. If we're so full that we're not in a state of desperation, and then we're not going to cry out. What are you saying, Pat? Oh man, there's so many ways I could go here. You got to pray this morning. God wants to speak to us in this word. That's the shape of our nation. And Greg, you nailed it. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And people are in a situation, in a state to where they have no need for God. We have it all. Amen? That's why, Judy, they say during the world wars, during World War I and World War II, you could hear these mothers praying, calling out to God, protect my children. Protect my son. Take care of my son. You know, because they were desperate. And you had, you know, and even in the Iraq wars and the things that are going on today. But, you know, I've talked to people that's had sons that have fought in those wars. And they talk about how much prayer goes on in their homes. I'm telling you, folks, we better realize that we are a blessed people. And we better be calling out on a holy God. Amen. Because our nation's in trouble. I'm not going to preach about the nation this morning. But I'm just telling you, we need some change. You know what? We need to be asking what's in the house. And I'm way ahead of myself. We need to be asking what's in our house that we live in. We need to be asking what's in this house. We need to be asking what's in this house. We need to be asking what's in the White House. We need to be asking, oh, come on, is anybody with me this morning? We need to realize, we need to be saying what's really in there. You guys may have to take over here in a minute. If I throw you the mic, just be ready. You know this word. I'm serious. What's in the house? She was desperate. Somebody say desperate. Her husband had died, and her sons were at a point. Her sons were at a point to where they legally could be taken. They were of the age, probably, the studies that I did, they were probably about ages 11 and 14. So they could have been taken to be bondmen. They could have been taken to be slaves. And you better hear what I'm preaching to you this morning, because the enemy of your soul wants to come and take your children, and he wants to put them in bondage. He wants to put them in bondage to and I'm going to tell you something. Bondage comes in a lot of packages. Oh, hallelujah. Y'all got to help me preach this morning. And bondage is not necessary. Bondage don't always necessarily come and look like bondage. Sometimes it can be all neatly packaged, and it can have a big ribbon around it and a bow. And I'm telling you, is anybody hearing what I'm saying? How many knows when you drive down the street and you drive down through the city and you see that big billboard and it's got that advertisement on there for alcohol? And I'm just going to preach the truth. It's got this beautiful woman up on the billboard. Or you can't turn the TV on. You can't watch a football game or a basketball game without, they just about show total naked women. I'm just going to preach. Is that all right? And these guys that if you drink this beer or you drink this, but you know what? They don't show you that guy that his liver's ate up from drinking alcohol. They don't show you that drunk driver and that parent that's lost a child because somebody was drinking alcohol. But I'm telling you, the devil likes to package bondage neatly. Don't always look like bondage, but it ends up being bondage. Oh, if I just had what was on the other side of the fence. The grass is greener over there. You know what they say? If the grass is greener over there, it might be because there's a septic tank. You better watch. Is this all right? What's in the house? The enemy was going to come and take her children bondage and make slaves out of them. It's a serious deal. And she was desperate. And so in verse 2, she says, What shall I do? And he says, tell me what's in your house. And she said, I don't have anything but just save a pot of oil. Now, oil, of course, they cooked with it. They made perfume with it. They did all kinds of things with oil. But you know, oil is symbolic. Oh, Jesus. It's a picture of the anointing. And we can't take lightly the anointing. Now, I ask you, what's in your house? You know, if this question, if we were put in this situation, do we have the anointing in our homes? Oh, preacher, the anointing's for the church. Can I tell you that if the anointing is in your home, it's going to automatically be in the church because you're going to bring it in with you. You know, and oftentimes the problem is, a lot of times the reason it's hard for us to break through in certain situations is because we come into the house of God and we bring all kinds of junk in there. Oh, hallelujah. Can I preach to you this morning? Because we haven't picked up our Bibles all week long. We haven't prayed all week long. And then we show up in the house of God and we say, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. And God says, where have you been all week? Oftentimes, because of his grace and mercy, he pours out on us. But other times, I think he's just saying, well, you haven't spoke to me all week. You haven't sought my face all week. Why do you expect me to show up now? I haven't seen you since last week. What's in your house? What do we have there that's a picture of the oil of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our homes? What's in this house? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which temple you are. You are, and I'm way ahead of myself, you are that vessel. You are that container. Let's go. We're going to stay here a while. We're going to be preaching on this. He said, go borrow. She said, I'll have some oil. He said, go borrow some vessels of all your neighbors, even empty vessels. How many knows it's time for us to take what God, you know, and you got to get this. Don't miss this part of the message. And I think oftentimes this is why we don't have more. We don't take what God gives us and pour it out to somebody else. All right. Come on. Preach it now. Yes, amen. Come on. Go to your neighbors. Get some empty. Oh, I know y'all ain't going to shout me down on this. Go to your neighbors. Find some empty vessels. Take the oil that you have and pour it in the neighbors. Oh, wait a minute, Pastor. Jesus. I just want to go to church and get my vessel full. I've got my cup and I just want you to fill it up and run it over. What about that person that's struggling, that's hung over this morning because of partying all night last night? What about that prostitute that's walking down 66 out here? Now just fill my cup up, Lord. And it's running over the sides. And you have been blessed up beyond measure. And we've got blessings running out our ears. We've got word coming. We've got so much word coming from everywhere. And God is speaking to us. And God has spoke to us. And we've heard word after word after word until we're filled to capacity. But the scripture says, go out and find somebody that's empty and take your cup and pour into them. Pour into somebody else. There's people out there that are dying, folks, and they're looking for something that'll help them live. And the church is spoiled. You know what? I'm just going to shoot to the chase here, Brandon. I'm just going to jump to it. You understand what the first verse say? The first verse said a certain wife. Do you understand that it's actually a picture of the church? And it's an impoverished church that thinks they're rich. Amen. He's saying, take what you have. Now, notice what the scripture says. Are y'all still with me? And when art come in, you shall shut the door. It says, go out and get these vessels, these empty vessels. Shut the door, take the full bottle of oil, and start pouring it into these empty vessels. Pour it out. Everybody say, pour it out. I'm just going to tell you right now, it's time for the church to be poured out. It's time for you to be poured out. There was a story with the woman with the alabaster. She poured out everything. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Shouldn't that be sold? Given all of God. It's time to be poured out. Amen? You know, God blesses us and we drink from it all week. And we're drunk. Do y'all love me? We're fat Christians. We're overweight. Come on now. Amen. Don't get offended. I'm not talking about if you have a weight problem. I'm talking about that. I'm talking about we're just. Just keep taking it in. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. That was good, Lord. That was good. Enjoy that. What you got? What else you got? You know, it's like we sit down to the table and we eat. And we, you know, surely we got to order some dessert. And it's good. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we need to sit down to the Lord's table and eat. But how many knows if we just continually eat, and we don't get, you know what he said? He said, out of your bellies shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. It's time for us to make somebody else alive. He didn't save you just so you could live. He saved you so you could convert a nation. He saved you so you could advance the kingdom. He saved you. Amen. And you know, how many knows it's time for us to, and we need to see people saved. God, give us a passion for the lost. You know what God said? God said, we're just doing the best we can just to keep ourselves saved. You know, but we're not affecting anybody else. Y'all love me? Now, we're talking about, you know, which our little building here is full for the most part. We had a Dickens meeting this morning. We're talking about, you know, what we can do to reach more people. And we're going to start some home prayer meeting, cell group type things, and get some more people involved and do some stuff like that in different areas. And so that's coming soon. And I've talked to the pastoral staff about that, and that's coming soon. But, you know, we talk about, you know, most of the time on Sunday morning, our little building's full. But, hey, we've got an overflow room downstairs, and it's time for some people to say, hey, Pastor, I'll go downstairs and watch it on the screen, amen, just so somebody else can come in here and be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, we want so much to receive and to be blessed, but, hey, how about somebody else being blessed? How about the home folk all moving up to the front so when the visitors come, they can have a place to sit down? And don't, you guys that sit in the back this morning, don't get mad at me. I'm not throwing anything. You know, I'm just saying us as a whole. You just happen to be back there this morning. Amen? Are y'all with me? I'm still preaching what's in the house. If you got oil in the house, amen, you should be wanting to pour that out to somebody else. How do I do that, preacher? You give of yourself. Amen. And what God has blessed you with, you give that unto others. Amen. Bob and Linda's going to be saying, okay, come on down, buddy. They're my neighbors. All right, let's go. He said, pour, set aside that which is full. And here's what I want you to see. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her. And she poured out. Everybody say poured out. Verse 6, and it came to pass when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said, there's not any more. Notice what it says. And the oil stayed. Do you see that? Amen? Can you see that? Somebody say stayed. Oh, you got to see what happened here. They didn't lose anything. She didn't lose anything. You know, we think if we start giving, we're going to lose. No, she didn't lose. She lost nothing. She gained. She still had what she started with. She filled up a bunch of empty vessels and still had what she started with. Is anybody seeing that? What are you saying? I'm saying that God has more than enough, and he's the God of multiplication. Amen. You know, I said that if you will give of yourselves, if you give of your time, I ain't got time, preacher. I just don't. You start giving of your time, and God's going to give you more time. You start giving of your money, God's going to give you more money. You start trying to bless somebody else and speak the anointing of God on somebody else, God's going to give you more anointing. I'm telling you that you can't outgive God. And if you will pour into other people, God's going to let your cup still be full. It ain't going to run out. God don't run out. He's an endless supply. I said he's an endless supply. Now we got to have that, but you got to understand, we got to have the oil in our homes in order to be able to pour it out. Ain't you glad she had it? I know that's not proper English. I'm glad she had it. Amen? Now, what do we have? What's in our house? How many knows we need the anointing in our homes? Amen? How many knows we need the anointings in our families? You know, Pastor, I think of when David was moving the Ark of the Covenant, and y'all know the story. You got to get this. You know the story. And when the oxen shook and Uzzah put his hand out to touch it, oh, Jesus, I'm going somewhere. And Uzzah fell dead. And David said, wait, we can't take it this way. We got to hold up. We got to wait for God's plan and do it the right way. So he leaves it at the house of a man named Obed-Edom. And the scripture says that as long as, said the Obed-Edom's house was blessed. It stayed there. As long as the Ark of the Covenant stayed there at Obed-Edom's house, his house was blessed. You talking about home prayer meetings. I know y'all ain't getting this. You know, what would it be like to tell your wife, guess what's in the living room? The Ark of the Covenant is in our living room. And then people says, okay, we're having cell groups. I'm going to Obed-Edom's house. That's where I want to go. I want to go where the Ark of the Covenant is. I want to go where the presence is. I want to go where the anointing is. I want to go where the oil is. You know, it's all about having something that's going to affect people's lives and touch people's lives. You know, we can't live without the anointing. You know what? The church, the impoverished church, is going through the motions without any anointing. Without any oil. And that's why we're still battling demons, and that's why we still have people that are addicted to drugs and alcohol. We all help your pastor. We still have people addicted to pornography and all of these things. We gotta have the oil. And you say, Pastor, I thought we had anointing in our church. We do. It's here. If you don't know it, it's here. We need it in our homes. It's got to get outside these walls. We need it in our workplaces. We need it in our cars. We're carriers. We are carriers of the ark of his presence. So ask yourself, what's in my house? What's in my physical house? What's in this house? Oh, Jesus. Is there bitterness in there? Is there pride in there? Is there jealousy in there? Is there envy in there? What's in there? This will help us, won't it? I know this is a tough word. But we're not going to go anywhere until we check and see what's in the house. Amen. God says you can't show up on Sunday and everything be all right. I know. Thank God for his grace and his mercy. He's good, isn't he? And how many know sometimes we just need it? How many know sometimes God needs us to go after him? God's looking for a church that says, let's look at it this way. What kind of relationship would you have with your wife if you just saw her once a week? Amen? What kind of relationship would that be? I understand sometimes people have to go away and that those things happen if they're in the military or whatever. But you know, on a regular basis, you marry a wife, you come down the aisle, Daniel, come on, help me, I'm just about done. That was bad timing. I love you, man, but you just ain't my type. It's the mustache. I just can't handle the mustache. No. It's okay to laugh. Seriously, come here, Wanda, my bride. Yeah. Bail me out here. Are we recorded? We don't believe in gay marriage. We're not for that. No, seriously, come here. I'm serious. You know, this July we've been married 32 years. Yeah. July 2nd. That's right, ain't it? Got that right, didn't I? I did good. What would it have been like if when I said I do and we exchanged our vows and I said, I'll see you next week? Wait a minute. You know, I thought we came together as one. You do understand, right, that the picture of the husband and wife is a picture of Christ in the church. You understand that, right?
Yes, right.
He said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. You know, he said, well, it's a mystery. He said, I'm talking about Christ in the church. Amen. That's a relationship, the bride and the groom. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know, we need to get real with our relationship. I'm trying to quit here. I'm just about done with this message. But I'm still talking about what's in the house. But we need to get real with our relationship with God and not just come in here and expect God to pour out. If we're going to be kingdom people, we're going to be kingdom-minded people, we're going to operate in kingdom principles, and we're going to have to start being serious with our relationship with the Father. And I was talking to Calvin Pell at the gym the other day, and this is just the beginning of what God's going to speak to us and preach to us. But we talk about the anointing and the authority. And we have the anointing and the authority in the kingdom, right? But see, you got to be able to join the two together, the ecclesia, the church, the family of God, and the authority of God, and pull those together. And you can't have the authority if you don't have the relationship. Oh, man. Do you understand that what has my name on it has her name on it? And do you understand that she can take a credit card with my name and use it because she's my wife? You understand that? But God's looking for somebody to have a relationship. What's in the house? I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know what? Oftentimes, I think the church just wants to get in the back seat with God. Ooh. That'll preach, won't it? A one-night stand, a one-morning stand, Sunday morning or Wednesday night. Amen? You talked about a difference last week, lust and love. You talked about it last week. Amen? You know, God's not looking for a date. That's right. We treat God like a dating service. You know, when God's looking for a bride, God's looking for somebody that's going to be there. You know what? Guess what? This woman's there. And I'm telling you, and she'll get mad at me for saying this, but she could do some great teaching on being a wife, because I'm telling you, she's a tremendous wife. She really is. You know, Sister Scott, You know, the scripture says Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord. You know, but the scripture says that the wife is supposed to be submissive to the husband, right? Come on, Greg, man, I figured you'd be shouting on that one. You know what she told me one time? But you see, we forget this part that says, husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church. Boy, it's a good teaching, ain't it? Right? And husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. It's a little marriage teaching here. You know what she told me one time? She said, you can sit down, honey. I know I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. You know what she told me one time? She said, if you'll love me like Christ loves the church, I have no problem submitting to you. You love me like Christ loved the church, and I have no problem submitting to you. That's where it happens. That's relationship. And guys, some of you are probably thinking, how in the world to get off on that? But it is, you know, what's truly, what's in there? What's in your house? Amen? And the problem is, you know, if we don't have what's in it, how can we help others? Do y'all love me? Do you love to be challenged? So if you don't get anything else from this, husbands, love your wives. Come on, wives, say amen. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands? All right. Now, how many believe Christ loves the church? Okay, now. Wife, submit to your husband. Amen. I'm trying to quit here. One more thing. How many believes? And I already told you, God's not looking for a one-night stand. He's not looking for a trip to the drive-in. Amen? Now, if she's submissive to me, then she's not going to be running around on me, is she? Okay, are we submissive to him? Okay, here's what I want you to get, and I promise I'm done. You can't pour something into something if there's all kinds of other things already there. What I'm saying is, if your life is full of all kinds of other things, then there's no room for God to pour into you. Amen? That's a good word. He's looking for somebody saying, God, I need you to fill this area with you. I need you to fill this area with you. You know, this. I've got all this stuff. I've got all this junk, but I need you to fill this area. God says, just get that stuff out of there and I'll pour into it. Get that out of there. Get that greed out of there and I'll pour into it. Get that jealousy out of there and I'll pour into it. Get that pride out. Get all this stuff, you know, those areas of your life. Get, you know what I'm saying? Get that stuff out of there and I'll fill that area. Amen? All right, I could go on. We'll share more on this in the coming weeks. Let's stand together. Let's take some time. Come and get us, worship team. Come and sing, and let's take some time to pray this morning before we leave. Search your heart. See what's in the house.
Thank you for downloading this message from Our Father's House.